You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Welcome to Oddball. I'm Charlotte Wilder here in New York. Over there is Amin Alhassan in Miami. Say hello, Amin.
Hello, Amin.
Yeah, look how the turns have tabled, huh? Yeah. Speaking of Miami, you are going to Sixers Heat tonight. But before we get to that, we have a stack show for you guys. We have Bet the Show come up later on. We got to talk about the Bucks. I'm going to talk about the Celtics and a bunch of other things because the season, she is coming to a close.
Playoffs have started.
How big of a deal is this game between the Sixers and the Heat tonight?
Oh, I mean, it's massive. Well, first of all, we got to start with what happened last night, which is the Pacers loss. So the Pacers loss combined with the Heat win on Tuesday night moves the Heat up to the sixth seed. They are out of the play-in now, which is, it seemed unfathomable a few weeks ago. But for the Sixers, who get Joel Embiid back, and we'll see if he'll play tonight, this is huge because this is an opportunity to A, maybe even leapfrog the Pacers, but B, also keep pace with the Heat because we don't know how they're going to do in their final few games here for the rest of the season. So big, big stakes here because also the winner of this game wins the season series between these two teams, meaning if they're tied in record at the end of the year, the winner of this game will be the one that gets the edge.
Wow. Okay. So what do you think? Who do you think is going to win this and why?
Well, I think Miami is as healthy as they've been now. Basically, everybody but Tyler Hero is back. I think this is a game that is, for them, a home game. Embiid is still rusty. He looked really, really winded on that Tuesday night win against Oklahoma City, which, by the way, happened without the services of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, without the services of Jalen Williams. J-Dub, not J-Will. You got to kind of take it a grain of salt. Big win for the Sixers, but also not exactly inspiring. I expect Embiid, if he plays tonight, to feel a little bit better, to get a little bit more stamina as he goes along. So Miami knows they've got to come and hit them hard tonight. So I think the Heat win this one.
Something we didn't talk about yesterday was how Embiid said how depressed he was during his rehab and how tough that was. And mentally, he just didn't feel like he was back. So maybe another game will get him there. Unfortunately, though, in the East, we have some other very sad news for Knicks fans. Julius Randle is out for the year. He dislocated his shoulder on January 27th, and he was trying to rehab. We saw him practicing, not with contact, but it was looking good. His doctor now says that if he doesn't get the surgery, he risks permanent damage. And in order to be good to go for next season, they have to operate now. I mean, can the Knicks still get far without this guy?
Yeah, I want to just explain one thing really quick to people who are like, why did he get the surgery in January? Well, like Charlotte said, the shoulder, the labrum tear is an injury that in some cases you can rest and rehab and avoid getting surgery and then be ready in a few weeks or in a few months' time. That was what the Knicks were banking on. Julius Randle is a guy who really prides himself of being able to play through pain, play through injury. And so he was trying to see if rest and rehab would allow him to be ready for a playoff run. Now we get the answer that no, actually, it'll get way worse if you try to play on it. So that's why he's getting the surgery. This can either be a gift or a curse for the Knicks. Let me start with the curse side because I think that's easier for people to understand. If he's out, he kind of represents for them like middle innings eating pitching, meaning he's 25 points a night, roughly. And it's not pretty, and it's not always in the right opportune times. But the idea is that sometimes all that pretty high IQ basketball shit doesn't work. And you just need someone, a bull in a china shop, to put his head down, gore everyone else with his horns, and get to the front of the rim or to the free throw line. And Julius Randle's really good at that. Without him, it's like, okay, we're going to just be the smart, intellectual, high IQ basketball team that we've been. But again, now your margin for error is a lot lower because you don't have that in case of emergency break glass and just score a bunch of points. Also, this, we have to acknowledge, this comes without OG Anunoby services. So if OG were healthy and everything would be great, I think Knicks fans should have felt a lot more optimistic. That's two of their best front court players are out. So we'll see how it goes. It is going to be an uphill struggle for them.
Another team that has been without some key guys recently, the Thunder, you mentioned. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Jalen Williams were out again last night against Boston. Boston destroyed them 135-100. They have now clinched the number one overall seed, home court advantage through the playoffs with this win. They're 60th. Mm-hmm. And I had a complete change of heart when watching. Oh, okay. Charlotte had a revelation. Thank you. I did, though. I had a complete revelation, which is that I have been a giant baby. You know how I've been like, oh, being a Celtics fan is psychological torture? What is wrong with me? Like, okay, sure, maybe they have choked in the playoffs in the past, 6 years now, but like, this is unbelievable basketball. This is so much fun to watch. They're up 30, and they still have 5 points to go, and I'm just like marveling at this basketball. This Celtics team has 3 wins of 50 points or more. I mean, this is historic. I need to appreciate this. I need to get out of my own way when thinking about the finals.
First of all, historic is taking it a little much.
You said that.
I didn't say that. I said that this is a really, really good team. But also, what they beat was a really, really good team missing its two best players, as you mentioned, which I guess, let me translate it into Celtics ease. It's like if they played the Hawks without Trae Young and DeJounte Murray playing. With DeJounte Murray playing, I was like, oh, that's a lot harder to beat. So like, if you're given like the Thunder, like Jalen Williams, maybe that game wouldn't have been what it was, but definitely a very impressive beatdown of a bunch of children.
Okay, come on. The Thunder are 1 win behind first in the West. They're sitting in third right now.
They should be able to.
Okay, well,
they lost to the Sixers. We're crying out loud the other night.
Well, I am still enjoying the really great basketball coming out of Boston, and you can't take that away from me. You are a Celtics Grinch. I am Cindy Lou Who, and I am standing here saying that there is beauty. Is that how the Grinch story goes? I actually don't know.
Yeah. What color is the Grinch, by the way?
Green.
There you go.
Look, doesn't Cindy Lou Who look like this? Doesn't she have like a
button? I'm just saying.
Anyway, you know what? We're moving on. I don't want to give you any more chances to rain on my parade. Speaking of a parade, they should have a parade at the Hall of Fame. News leaked that Vince Carter and Chauncey Billups will be inducted this year. They're going to officially announce it at the Final Four this weekend. But Vince Carter, I mean, I don't need to say much about these guys. He's 8-time All-Star. He won Olympic gold. 2000 dunk contest winner. The dunk contest hasn't been the same since. Chauncey Billups won a title in 2004 with the Pistons. 5-time All-Star. 3-time All-NBA. These guys are amazing. And you worked with both of them in some capacity. Is that correct?
I worked with Vince as a player. He came and played for the Phoenix Suns for like 3/4 of a season. I like to tell people that was the last year where Vince Carter was expected to lead a team in scoring. Yeah, this guy was a superstar. I tell people all the time, especially younger people, in the post-Michael Jordan era after his second retirement in 1998, there was a big thing about like, oh my God, who's going to be the face of the league? Who's going to be the person that attracts a casual fan? And sure, there was Shaq and Kobe and Tim Duncan, and those guys were great players. And obviously Shaq and Kobe became, and Tim Duncan, they all won championships. But in that immediate, like post-1998, the thing that brought people to TVs, say, I need to watch this, it was Vince Carter flying to the sky. And he wasn't just a great dunker, he was a great player, a great three-point shooter. But like I said, at some point, and that point was in Phoenix in 2010, 2011, he realized, I can't be that Vince Carter anymore. I've got to change. And Charlotte, that's not easy for someone to go from the center of attention, the center of offense, to being like, how can I be one of the guys to help someone else be successful? Mm-hmm. And I thought he did that transition as great as any star has ever done that, and extended his career a whole nother decade past that as a result. a great guy, great human being, and he obviously does a good job breaking down the game. But Vince Carter absolutely deserves to be a Hall of Famer, the longest tenured playing player in the history of the NBA, although I think LeBron's going to take that record as well.
Yeah, he played in across four decades. That's crazy. Yep. What about Chauncey Billups? Give him his flowers.
Chauncey. So I worked with Chauncey at ESPN when we were both starting as analysts. Excuse me. I think our first SportsCenter hit, me and Chauncey were on at the same time in the same segment. And again, this is a guy that's a little different. We talk about Vince Carter started as a star and then had to figure out how to be a complimentary role player guy. Chauncey was a very high pick from not a blue blood school and then got traded halfway through his rookie year, which is a huge red flag. If the team that drafted you top three says, you know what, we kind of messed this one up, that's a bad sign. And so Chauncey bounced around and almost became a journeyman until he got to Detroit and playing for Coach Larry Brown and playing with all those great players, Rasheed Wallace and Rip Hamilton and Ben Wallace. They put together something very awesome, very special. He was a big part of Detroit being, for the better part of a decade, one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. Then he gets traded to Denver, his hometown, and he helps them become a conference finalist and helps them win. And then he goes to the Knicks, and he helps them have one of the best seasons they'd had in over a decade. So Chauncey, consummate winner. And again, the story of Chauncey Billups is it doesn't matter how your career starts, you can still change things. You can still take agency in your life. And again, great human being. I'm so happy and proud for both of these guys. I will be going to Springfield again because I have to support my friends, Chauncey and Vince Carter and Jay Adande, who is also going in. He got the Kurt Gowdy Award.
Well, congrats to all of these guys. I can't wait to hear the speeches. I love speeches. I love a Hall of Fame speech so much. We got to go to a little bit of a darker place if you're a Bucks fan from here. I mean, we have to talk about the fact that Milwaukee lost to the Grizzlies last night, 111-105, a night after losing to the Wizards. They are now 6-8 in their last 14 games. Yes, Dame wasn't there, but like, if you're a Bucks fan, are you panicking?
You can't lose to the Wizards. You can't lose to the Grizzlies. You can't lose to teams that are trying to lose, for crying out loud. These are teams that are full on ping pong ball levels right now. They're going pedal to the metal, trying to get to Secaucus with as many combinations in their pocket as possible. They're playing Powerball. And you lose to them? And again, I get it. They're now 1-7 without Damian Lillard. I'm sorry if I thought Giannis, Brooke Lopez, and Chris Middleton were enough to beat the lowly Grizzlies and Wizards. Maybe crazy.
So when you talk about the Celtics beating the Thunder without two guys, the Bucks had most of their guys and the Grizzlies had none of their guys and they still lost. So it still is impressive to beat a team even if they're missing the Bucks just aren't doing it right now. I mean,
you're trying to retrofit like this Celtics paranoia that you have about everything falling apart. Like it's not true. Look, you know what's going to happen. We'll get to the playoffs. They'll win the first round convincingly. You'll feel confident. They'll get to the second round and maybe have some tests, and then but you'll get through it. And then the conference finals hits, and that's what reality checks in.
Why are you doing this? Stop doing this. We're not doing this. You know what we are doing? We're going to hear what Doc Rivers had to say because he had an interesting excuse for why the Bucks are struggling.
Oh, it's funny. I've actually been sitting back and watching everything. Not just our players, but our travel crew, everything. We don't bring the necessary professionalism, seriousness on the road. As a travel staff, not talking players, we may have to do something different there too, because something's missing.
Okay. I mean, do you remember back in January when Giannis also commented on the road crew? And at the time, we defended the equipment managers. Here, let's roll the tape.
Every single thing, everybody has to be better. Everybody. It starts from the equipment manager. He has to wash our clothes better.
I'm going to stand up for equipment managers everywhere and say, enough.
This does not seem like a problem of delicate versus heavy wash, I mean.
When Giannis did it, we stood up for the equipment managers and the rest of the road crew. Like enough. These people work hard. Don't try to lump them in with your struggles. But then Doc did it, and I was like, well, hold on for a second. Maybe there's something happening here that we're not paying attention to. So in the spirit of journalism, I went out, I sought him out, and I found him. We've got, ladies and gentlemen, the Bucks equipment manager, Quincy. Quincy, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. And I guess let's start with what are your job responsibilities on the road?
My responsibilities on the road, well, I'm the vibes master. I'm curating as many vibes as I can for everybody, trying to make sure it's a nice setting. But I work as well. I make sure all the balls are pumped up, anything in my vicinity. I wash all the clothes, heavy duty. If you need a jock strap, I'm your guy. I sell everything on eBay, as well as conduct spade tournaments before, after, and post game.
Quincy, why do you think Doc called you and the rest of the road crew out?
Personally, I think Doc Rivers is a hater. I have seniority over Doc Rivers. I've been here way longer than him. And ever since he's got here, he's had an issue with me. Maybe it's because I have more followers than him. I don't know.
Quincy, I'll be honest with you, man. I've worked for NBA teams. I've never met an equipment manager like you. How'd you even get your job?
Haha. I'm a legacy. I have a brother that plays for the team. And you're not going to guess what his name is. But I'll give you a hint. It starts with the G.
Giannis.
That was actually a lot easier than I thought. You figured it out. That's my big bro. He got me on the team, and I've been here ever since.
Wait, but, are you trying to tell me your name is Quincy Antetokounmpo?
I was adopted. I actually don't know how to pronounce my last name because I was born in America, but I'm still working on that. Yes, Quincy Antetokounmpo.
Okay.
All right, Quincy. Quincy. Thanks a lot. I guess we'll check in with you later on in the playoffs to see how the vibes are.
Yeah, thank you.
They'll be great. Thank you.
Well, okay. I'm still a little speechless. Amin, thank you for finding that professional young man. Unfortunately, we do have to go to something a little more serious. Yesterday, we saw Tibbs have a meltdown during his press conference, and there has been a further development. Check this out.
DJ Wilder Things, Tibbs on the track.
He's getting involved. He's getting involved. He's getting involved. He's getting involved.
When Jalen drives to the rim, defenders swarming on him.
Get involved. Get involved.
When Brunson goes attack, well, they got him in a chokehold.
Get involved. Get involved. Get involved. He's getting involved.
Don't mess with Tibbs. Oddball Remix.
We'll be right back with Bet the Show and hopefully no more music.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can wager on the winners of all the first-round series, like if the Sixers will come back to beat the Knicks at plus 350. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code Oddball. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code Oddball, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Okay, I mean, it is time for Bet the Show. Bet the Show is presented by DraftKings. And stay tuned because you'll hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer throughout this wonderful show of ours, DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Hell yeah.
I've been feeling like a betting woman recently, Amin.
I know.
So I would like you to read these to me, and I'm going to decide if I want to take them or not.
Yeah, I've noticed. Is everything going well for you? Because you've been placing a lot of these lately.
Yeah, man, I started like playing the lottery too. Like I can't think of anything else that's related to luck. I'm not even scared to step on the cracks of the sidewalk anymore, man. This is
your mom standing tall, huh?
Knock on wood.
There it is. Okay, well, we'll start tonight, Charlotte. The Warriors visit the Rockets. This is a huge game, obviously, because it counts for two for the Houston Rockets and the Warriors. The winner gets not only the win, but also delivers a loss, an extra loss to the opponent. Warriors are three games ahead of the Rockets, and they are better on the road than they are at home, which is the exact opposite of what happened last year. Last year, they were amazing at home. They couldn't win on the road. Now this year, they're 500, I want to say, at home, and really, really good on the road. And then this is the first night of a back-to-back for both teams. Golden State plays at Dallas tomorrow night. Uh-huh. Houston is at Miami. Oh, a game I wish I was here for. Assuming everyone plays, Charlotte, who do you like?
You know, I'm going to go with the Warriors because after that win over the Mavs, I think this is a team a lot of people are like, is momentum in sports real? And I'm always like, yeah, I think it is. I think that when you win, it makes you feel better than when you lose. And that can often lead to good feelings. I think in the Warriors case, they really needed that win for morale purposes. And they also needed Draymond not to get kicked out of a game, which he didn't do, even though he did foul Luka very, very hard. But it wasn't called a foul. So never mind. It wasn't a foul. He just hit him
no
in the
foul.
Face.
No, no foul. Blood, no foul.
Yeah, no harm, no foul. So I'm going to take the Warriors. That's my bet. I'm betting on our boys in yellow and blue.
Let's see if Charlotte can continue her hot streak. All right, this next one it's a prop bet, Charlotte. The NCAA is afraid of these. The NBA, not so much. Wemby to record a quadruple-double at any point this season. That's plus 5,500 on DraftKings. So some background. Tuesday night, he had 20 points, 15 rebounds, 9 blocks, and 8 assists against the Nuggets in a very, very, very close, tough loss. That's the second time this year he's had 9 blocks in a game. That's the first time it's happened since Alonzo Mourning in 93. They've got 6 games left, Charlotte. Now, nobody has recorded a quadruple-double since David Robinson did it for the Spurs 30 years ago in 1994.
You know what? I'm going to take this. I'm going to take this bet. I'm going to say that Wemby will, because the Spurs are not going to be in the playoffs, even though, as we talked about yesterday, they were in a playoff game against the Nuggets. But they're not going to be on the big stage this year. And so I think that Wemby's going to be playing really, really hard in these next regular season games they have before he's off to Cancun or like Saint-Tropez, the south of France, whatever city is there. So I'm going to take it. I'm going to take this, Amin. I feel good about this. He wants to go out with a bang, and I can't think of a better way to do it than a quad dub, as they say.
Plus 5,500. That's great odds right there for you. Also, I believe the French go to Guadeloupe or Martinique. Those are the two Caribbean islands.
French or St. Barts or St. Kitts and Nevis.
Yeah. Well, Guadeloupe and Martinique, I think, are French protectorates. They're kind of like Guam still? For us. Yeah. So.
And St. Right. Barts isn't St. Barthélemy?
I don't know. I don't know.
We shall look it up someday.
He's got the Olympics coming up. So there's that too. Maybe he just goes back to Paris.
Oh. Well.
All right.
Okay.
Last one for you. It's not a real bet, Charlotte, but maybe it should be. Caitlin Clark plays against UConn. Right now, UConn famously did not recruit her. She wanted to go there. They didn't give her the time of day. So grudge match going on in there. Meanwhile, Devin Booker is playing the Pelicans on Sunday. So you got Caitlin Clark on Friday, Devin Booker on Sunday. Booker scored 3 straight 50-point games against the Pelicans this season. He's been on fire. And meanwhile, as I said, Caitlin Clark, Gino Auriemma is trying to kind of throw cold water on her, talking about, oh, I don't need her dropping 50 on us. So who goes for more points this weekend? Is it Caitlin Clark tomorrow night, or is it Devin Booker on Sunday?
So here's the thing. It's funny to me that Gino is saying, I don't need her dropping 50 on us because I'm trying to avoid making her angry. Well, my dude, maybe you should have thought of that when you were the only coach that didn't show up to her practices in high school and her games to see what this phenom was up to. Caitlin Clark had a picture, a caricature of her wearing a UConn jersey that she had drawn at a state fair. Like, she said it was the most magical place on earth. Like, Caitlin Clark wanted to go to UConn so bad. And Gino was like, you know what? I think we're good. So for him to say that he is not going to say anything bad about her in a press conference because he doesn't want to make her mad, like, you kicked the hornet's nest years ago, yeah. Gino. Years too
little,
ago.
Too little, too late. Also, here's a marketing thing for anyone in UConn. If UConn ends up winning and Paige Beckers has a better game, headline in the Hartford Courant or whatever the big paper is for people in Storrs, Connecticut, should say Paige Betters.
Oh, okay.
Snap. Got her ass on that. Now, if Caitlin Clark drops 50, different story.
Yeah, I mean, they've got the Paige Buckets nickname on Paige Better. No, okay.
Betters, because it's Beckers.
Yeah,
her name isn't Bookers. For Bookers, then Buckets makes sense, but it's better. Beckers, better.
But they still do Paige Buckets. Okay, whatever.
They're not creative like us, Charlotte. That's why.
You're right. Paige Betters. There you go. Take a free headline. So on the other side of this, though, we have Devin Booker, who is just like the Pelicans. He is the Pelicans' kryptonite. Is that how that?
Boogeyman. What's a Pelicans' natural predator? I'll look it up. You keep going with your analysis.
I feel like probably an alligator or something, right? You look it up. So I feel like it is not that likely, to be honest, that Booker, if he already dropped three straight 50-point games, I feel like at some point that has to end. And I feel like the fourth would be crazy. So I don't think Booker's going to have 50. And I think that Caitlin really, really has an incentive here to beat UConn. So I'm going to say Caitlin's going to go for more points.
This is from AtoZAnimals.com, a very trusted source.
Yeah,
because of their large size, pelicans have few predators. Wild dogs and coyotes can be counted among their predators, along with cats. However, the greatest threat to their existence comes from man. That's right.
So they should. So by that logic, the pelicans should be very scared of the warriors and the timberwolves, men and dogs.
Well, I think they should be most scared of Devin Booker. You know why?
Because he's a man.
Because he's the man.